If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based podcast that spotlights Black women who replace silence with storytelling around pregnancy and infant loss and infertility. Black women experience miscarriage and stillbirth 4 to 5 times more likely than white women, according to the NIH and CDC. Whether you've experienced a miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, are trying to conceive, or have an infertility diagnosis, you will learn about resources and strategies to heal, gain clarity, peace, hope, and find an empowering path forward after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee, and you will hear me interview sisters in loss who have healed from such a painful and traumatic experience by sharing their testimonies and stories to inspire and help others turn their pain into their purpose. Now let's get started.
All right. Well, welcome to the Sisters in Loss podcast. Tanera, I would love for you to share with our guests a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me. My name is Tanera Willis, and I am a registered nurse by trade. During the pandemic, I rediscovered some of my passions and became a first-time author with my son and I, as well as starting an online e-commerce business. Like many other women, super busy. I'm one of the board of directors of a nonprofit youth empowerment organization, also a director at my church. What else do I do? I volunteer quite a bit. But by trade, a registered nurse, and then recently, within the last 2 years, I've become an entrepreneur and an author.
Perfect. I love that. But you have a story to tell. So yes. I would love for you to take us back on your journey to motherhood and share with us your story.
Okay, absolutely. Absolutely. So my journey started quite some time ago. I married my husband. Look, in 04, my husband always complains that I don't know when we got married or the date. I'm not that woman. I'm really bad with dates. But maybe about 2 or 3 years into our marriage, we decided we wanted to start to have a family and have children. So we were having unprotected sex, of course, because we're married, trying to deliver a baby. After about a year and a half, we weren't pregnant. So we went early on, and I know some people, you know, wait a while. We went early on and visited an infertility specialist. And I remember like it was yesterday when we first went, the doctor went in on my husband because I had been pregnant before, but had an elective abortion. But because my husband at this point, I think we were in our late 20s, had never had anyone pregnant, he automatically thought the reproductive issues was on his end. And he went and told him so many reasons about male factor infertility and Black men and infertility and yada, yada, yada. So, you know, he was crushed. He felt like it was a big target on his back. Fast forward, after some studies and some tests, everything was fine. Sperm count fine, no issues on his end. So of course, after some while now, I'm feeling like I'm the one with the bullseye on me. And it's like, wow, it's my fault, you know, feeling of blame and grief and embarrassment and shame. I mean, I didn't even want to walk into doctor's offices, not wanting anyone to see me. So it was a lot of that fear and embarrassment. So after about, we found out I had PCOS, and we also had blocked fallopian tubes at that time. And we're about 11 years ago. I was told I had a partially blocked tube and one was fully blocked, but the doctor still had a little bit of hope and said, "You're still young and there's still a good chance you can get pregnant on your own. You could either wait or you can seek assistance." So at this point, we didn't want to wait. So we did go into infertility. I did have to have a surgery to remove some of the cysts that was inside of my body. And of course, you start all the medications and the injections and the weight and all the tests, everything being so timed and strenuous. And I actually hated the experience. I resented it. I was uncomfortable. I had to go through taking some of that medications that help you stimulate menopause. I hated that, but nobody knew I was going through it. So I'd be out in public and have hot flashes and go crazy, then catch myself like, okay, I can't tell you what I'm going through because no one knows what's going on. And just living really in secrecy and privacy about it. Thankfully, I wanted a fortunate woman. I successfully was able to have a son after one round of IVF. And my son is now 10. But then since then, we thought, you know, my husband, due to the financial impact of it and also the stress of it. And again, like I said, I hated the process from beginning to end. We decided at that point we wouldn't do it again. I think about 2 or 3 years in, my husband was like, well, why don't you go check in with the doctor and see what he says, see where you are, see where our chances are at this point. But at that point, I wasn't ready. So then 2 years later, so now we are in like our mid to late 30s. I was getting the itch and the desire, and my son was begging for a sibling. So we started the process. Everything was optimal, I would say. Everything wasn't great. Of course, my tubes were still blocked. I went through the HSG where you get the dye injected into your fallopian tubes and extremely painful. I can remember that day as well, getting a dye and you get this pain, but you just know that pain is not just pain. It's devastation because you know things are worse now. The pain is worse now. And the tubes are even more blocked. Nothing's spilling out because it's supposed to spill out of your fallopian tubes, but it didn't. And I remember going into the bathroom and crying my heart out, keeping a brave face in front of the it was a nurse practitioner administering the test. And I think she could tell because we just kind of silently kind of looked at each other, and she grabbed my hand and she asked me several times, was I okay? And of course, like many women, we lie and we say we're okay, but we're not okay. And I remember just going to the bathroom with a quick, heavy sob, but then getting myself together and doing what we say is putting our big girl panties on and soldiering on. So fast forward it, when we went back to our consultation after getting numerous tests, I still was pretty optimal, still had viable eggs, ovaries still intact, labs good, cycle regular, things of that sort. And the doctor was very optimistic that I was a good candidate for IVF and would be successful. They were optimistic. But at that point, my husband didn't want to go through it again. So then that was my devastation is, you know, we went through these battery of tests and, you know, as you leave him work and you're spending money and co-pays, you know, for him only to tell me after the doctor tells me it looks pretty good to not want it. So then I had to go through that grief and heartache and resentment, you know, with him. And then to full circle, to wrap it up, just deciding, you know, we have an amazing life. We have an amazing son. I have an amazing marriage. You know, some women will tell you to trick your spouse or try to manipulate or pressure him. And I didn't want to do that because, like I said, our marriage is really good. And I didn't want putting what I wanted on him to affect it, not knowing what would happen. So we decided to just leave our family as it is. But I like to share my story just because over the years, when I went through it, I didn't know many women who had these experiences. But throughout these 10 years, I found that there's so many, you know, and then in the recent years to find out there's 1 in 8 dealing with infertility, there's 1 in 44 living with miscarriage and stillbirths. And I'm like, okay, it's too many of us to be quiet and to not share and not to support one another and not fight for one another and not advocate and different things like that. So I would say like in the last 3 or 4 years, I tell almost anybody I can. And the thing that's been striking to me is the Me Too is astounding. I've never brought my conversation and story up without a woman in that room being able to share her story and being grateful that I've shared my story and they have someone who understand and someone who looks like them who have had that experience. And then lastly, I just see so many women in grief from it. You know, I've seen marriages dissipate. I've seen finances fall apart. And I see people like just can't focus and they're in depression and grief and trauma and relationships ending, even friendships. So I know that's not what God wants from us. And that's why I try to share my story, but also inspire hope. Because even though we still have these desires, so even though I agreed and decided I didn't want to, I still have moments where, what if? And my son still has moments with mommy. I know we're not going to have one, but I want to. I'm about to tear up now. But I still have moments. You never lose that desire and that want if there's something truly in your heart. So I just share it, encourage one another and tell everyone to fight for their joy and their peace in spite of these challenges.
No, I think that's so true. I mean, that's real that for those of us very similar to you that still desire to grow our families, but know that it may not be in God's will for our lives, and mm-hmm. being able to sit in that and accept that is a whole nother level of grief, right? Yes.
And right. I still fight for your happiness, because we shouldn't be living in grief and trauma and despair. That doesn't mean our truth isn't real. It doesn't mean the pain isn't real, but there is still so much more to us. And I think that's the part I try to push. That's being a mom is a part of who we are, or a part of who we desire to be, but not all that who we desire to be. And I wouldn't tell anyone to stop wanting that, but I do want people not to let it consume them to the point where they don't have joy.
Absolutely. I think that's so key. don't let it consume you so you won't have the joy to get up every day and do all of the other things that God has purposed you to do on right. earth. You know, motherhood is a part of it. But I would love for you to really talk about how you navigated through the cycles, right? Because I think that even back when you started doing it, you know, a lot of Black women then weren't, you know, taking the monetary, you know, the financial hit to go and mm-hmm. do this unknown thing called, right. you know, IVF and taking the risk and stepping out on faith. So I would love for you to share more about how you and your husband really navigated through making that decision and what the financial impact was and how you really came together as a couple to really strengthen each other as you navigated through all of those changes as you went through them.
Good question. I think you're never fully prepared, but you want to be as prepared as possible. You know, for those of us who are married going through, you want to be on one accord as much as possible. Push through their communication. A lot of men are not great communicators or open communicators, but definitely advocate for that. Make it a comfortable space. Let them know that they matter, because that's something too, not to segue real quick, but a lot of times we get so consumed in our emotions, we forget about the emotional impact of our spouses, but just to check in with them. Because a lot of times I see men pouring into women and the women so grief-stricken. But I think for us, faith was a good thing that helped us, communication and humor. We would joke and sit call out my son, Fitz, grand and things like that. This was before he was here. Of course, we've never said that to him, but the financial impact, we couldn't believe, you know, at that point, how much we were spending out of pocket. Neither one of our insurance plans covered it. Thankfully, some do at this point. I know still there's not a lot of plans that cover it, especially if you have private plans, but there are a lot more companies and insurance carriers who are starting to pay for it. But yeah, we honestly, like, my husband's amazing financial budgeter. So once he knows the cost of something, he can envision how we can get there and what stepwise process we can get there. So that's pretty much it. Basically, we took the $15,000, and I'm giving a an average cost for us at that time, and decided, you know, along the way, how much is this going to cost and how much we're going to have by this date and that date. So not to be consumed about the final, let's take it piece by piece. And of course, the medications are expensive as well. So it is a lot to take on, and sometimes that will scare you away from trying the journey. Thankfully, too, there are a lot more grants out now. There are a lot more fundings, and then there's a lot more like insurance plans that you can buy into for some of these medications. But I didn't know all of that then, and we did pay out of pocket. When we started the second journey, we did look into a lot of grants, and I think once you start looking, you'll find more. I think when you don't know, you feel as if there's not anything there. There's still not enough, but there is more than we know. And I was actually surprised when I started to Google, and I found one, and one site will take you to another site and take you to another site. Unfortunately, a lot of them had a lot of criteria that you won't always fit into, but you can try. And now a lot of the reproductive or infertility providers have lists of some of those grants, and some of them have their own grants and stuff and programs within it. But yes, I think financially, it was budgeting for us. So just like if you budgeted for a down payment for a home or a car, it was one of the things that we saw as a priority and a desire of our heart. So we just kind of budgeted and then used our faith and some humor to kind of get through some of the tough times.
Yes, budgeting is so key. And like you said, I think now a lot of the resources are a little bit more readily available, where you can just do some Googles to find if there are grants or other services or even switching insurance. And yes, a lot of people who've come on the podcast have mentioned, you know, possibly if they want, if they can't go through that route, you know, possibly getting a part-time job at Starbucks and using Starbucks and going through that realm.
I think Starbucks is one of the companies that have infertility resources as part of their thing. So I honestly, when writing, I found a lot of jobs. I'm like, oh, I'd have quit my job and went and found me a job at one of these people who pay. If absolutely. I knew.
No, absolutely. And I think that that is a good key. I've had a few guests on the podcast who did that. They actually went part-time on their full-time job and then worked part-time at Starbucks just so they can both get through rounds of IVF and have it 100% paid, because Starbucks pays for it for even part-time employees. Yes, so many communities that are out there that are supporting this and giving the financial backing to do so. But obviously there's still so far and so much more that can be done from an insurance purposes, from, you know, covering it not only at a state level, but at a federal level, so that people don't have to spend, you know, all of this money out of pocket just to grow their family.
And go into debt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's still so much more and so much more that we can advocate for, and so many more places to go with advocacy around IVF and just any other alternative reproductive treatments, not just IVF. They all cost money, right? Yeah. So they all cost. It's just IVF's the most expensive. But yeah, so I would love for you to talk about books that you're writing, the book that you've written with your son. Share with us about that.
Yeah, so I actually, if I can grab my baby's book, I'm sorry. I got two of them. He has three. When he was seven, he created a story, and it's called The Amazing Whitehead's First Adventure, The Jewelry Store Heist, and he created himself as the lead character. So our book is diverse in having a Black superhero as the lead character, but it's basically a story about a young man hanging out on the beach and discovering his powers, and then seeing an altercation on a beach where he had to help out and became a superhero and not realizing he was amazing. So that story came about just one day when we were hanging out. Again, I'm super busy, so I'm always trying to make sure that when we don't have quantity in time, we have quality. So I was washing his hair one day at swim class, and I would start to engage him, say, you know, if you could be a superhero, what would be some of the things you'd be able to do? And what would your name be? And then how, you know, and I start asking question after question, and he just loved the conversation so much, and he gave me much more than I anticipated. And I got so excited, like, oh my God, we got to write this down. This is good. And then I'm like, after that, I'm like, oh, this should be a book. So eventually we published that in February 2020. He's been in Spanish immersion since pre-K, and this year he's in fifth grade. So during the pandemic, I had him translate it himself in Spanish. That was one of his assignments. Each day he would have to translate a page in Spanish. So we were able to publish it this year in Spanish. And we also have it in a coloring book format. So we became authors together, and that's something that we're really excited about. And we try to share and encourage reading. So my quest to encourage him and show him that he's amazing and he can do amazing things. He doesn't have to wait till he becomes an adult, and he doesn't need anyone behind him to do it. That was the passion behind getting that published. But after that, I said, you know what? We should encourage other people to be amazing and just complete their goals, and don't worry about barriers and challenges, but instead push through and just try every day to be who you desire to be without trying to be the carbon copy of anyone else, because God has made us all amazing with amazing gifts, and we should all be sharing that greatness with the world. So that's where we started our social media platform, The Amazing Corner. And then through all of this, I'm like, wait a minute, Sanera, you had goals and dreams of your own, because sometimes women do that, right? We push our company's goals, our spouse's goals, our kids' goals, and we try to amplify the greatness that we see in them, and we forget some things. So my book is called Memoirs of Almost Barren Women, Our Journey to Motherhood. And this is something I started to journal when I first started to have infertility issues, just to kind of help myself get through some of the emotions and some of the thoughts. And then throughout the year, I would write, but I would put it down, sometimes months at a time, sometimes years at a time. And I'm like, you know what? Again, when I would encounter these women, I'm like, they're so sad. They're so upset. They're so broken. You know, we need to love on each other. We need to share our stories. We need to be more comfortable talking about it. And to be honest, the white women in my life, they're not afraid of sharing about infertility. You know, they tell me at basketball games, at the doctors, or at football games, at fest, I've had just white women come up to me and just say it. It seems like it's just sometimes they, before they even find out they have infertility, are using infertility to have, you know, elective twins or to pick the sex of their children. And I feel like for Black women, it's so much more shameful. Even when I think about some of the women in my life that I don't know as a fact to have infertility, but I believe it now, like, okay, they had fibroids growing up, or they had heavy menstrual periods, and they had cysts, and they had this, and now they don't have kids, but, you know, they never talked about it. Or they, you know, someone else had kids from, but we never heard stories behind it. And I often wonder how many people in our community have had infertility and still to this day are living in shame and silence about it. So that is the premise behind this book, is to decrease that shame, that guilt. I tell my God honest truth about my story, but because my story is just, you know, one of the routes and challenges with infertility, and there's so many different paths and stories and challenges and barriers, I've asked 5 other women to share their story. So we have blended families in here. We have a single woman in the book. We have an older couple in the book. We have white women, Black women, mixed families, like I said, and they had different pathways to becoming mothers. Some of them had stillbirths and miscarriage and then had babies spontaneously on their own. Some of them had to adopt, but still are desiring to have babies on their own. And a single woman yet is not married and she's believing God for the full package. But yet she's struggling with so many reproductive health issues that she's just living in fear of, okay, I'm waiting on God, but I'm also having these piling reproductive health issues. So she tells her blistering story and her truth, but she was able to mother through mentoring. And she does, I forget the exact word for it, but she sponsors children in other countries and things like that. And she just got approved for fostering. So we just all share our stories to encourage and say, we know we've been there, we feel you, but we also, all of our stories end with a message of hope. And we also have a journal in the book, resources in the book, websites in the book, Instagram accounts to follow, just to encourage one another and just to be a resource for women and families dealing with these issues.
Perfect. I love it. So where can we find both of those books or all her books, your son's book and your book? Are they on Amazon? Drop the link.
Yeah. So all of our books are on Amazon, but they are also on our individual website, which is www.theamazingcorner.com. But yes, they're also on Amazon as well.
Perfect. So what other tools, resources, things that really has helped you navigate your journey, or things that you recommend to other women that you've come in contact that have shared a similar experience?
I think one of the integral parts of me getting through is finding a woman who was actually going through it with me. Again, I didn't tell a lot of people. My mother knew a little bit of my story. My sisters knew a little bit of my story. My best friend knew a little bit, but I never told anyone everything. But it just so happened one of these days where I was sneaking, or so I thought, into my infertility specialist's office, I ran into an aunt who was seeking infertility support. And we became each other's allies. So if I would encourage you, even if someone you don't know, make a connection with a person that can be your ally throughout the, because there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be challenges. You're going to get days where you get bad news or don't get the outcome that you want from a different test procedure or result. And you need someone who you feel like you can trust and who understands. Because of course our family are going to be there. Some of our, you know, if you have like a church family, but if they had never experienced it, the support is limited. And that doesn't mean you can't utilize them, but having someone who understands is going to be very meaningful. And unfortunately, some people who have not gone through it, they don't always say the right things. We want to give them grace in that, but also help educate them in a soft and loving way and say, hey, that hurts, or that hits different coming my way. But yeah, so having someone that understood as an ally and who was going through it with me was a great resource. Faith, staying connected, and also taking downtime. So some days you got to, you know, it's the looming title or diagnosis will always be there, but you may have to take a weekend and go have a girls trip and have fun, or go watch a funny movie. You know, if it's taking a lot of you financially, emotionally, taking a break from it altogether might be a great resource. So those are some things I would do where I felt like really grief stricken. I would go hang out with mom and let mom cook for me and things like that. So just making sure you do some self-care along the way.
Self-care and self-love is so needed.
Sometimes distraction, right? Because sometimes you don't want to talk about it. And that was big with me. You know, a lot of people, when I started to give my testimony and share my book, a lot of family reached out and said, we didn't know when we would have been there for you. And I don't blame anyone. I didn't want anyone there for me. I was in isolation because that's what I felt like I needed to do as a defense mechanism and protective. And also talking about it hurts and it's scary and it's sad and it pulls out all these emotions. You don't want to stay there constantly. You don't want to have to keep checking in and updating them about your experience along the way. So, you know, sometimes you just want to be, go somewhere and not think about it and not, you know, have to tell the story or give an update.
No, absolutely. I think that that's so key and so true. So I would love for you to leave our listeners with encouraging words, those who may be going through, may have PCOS or have gone through alternative reproductive treatments, and those who are in that, who are in the, I say the other part of the sisterhood where, you know, the desire is still there, but we just know, and we know that the decision's been made that our family is going to be where it's at. So what encouraging words can you give those different groups of people?
Oh gosh, it's so tough because one thing I always like to acknowledge, because I was fortunate to have one successful for me and have a son, I know it's a difference between having one and having none. So I think my heart goes out to those women who haven't even had one, because I tell all people all the time, I'm okay with having one. I would not been okay with having none. So I just want to send out a virtual and cyber, I love you guys. I understand. I definitely empathize for you guys. And I want you to guys have happiness and have peace and just do your best to have joy and preserve all the things that are going on around you. There's so many beautiful things God has put into our lives that he wants us to enjoy. And just consider other aspects. Don't give up on your joy, your hope, and your desire. But while you're waiting, try to give that motherly nature, motherly desire to those around you. You know, if there's something you can do in your community, there's so many children who want to be loved. And if you're not ready to adopt or have them in your home, just participating in youth events, donating, things like that. Because I believe when you volunteer and you give love to the people who are not getting loved or people who need, that it comes back to you and you will reap a reward and also a fulfillment from it. Because I think ultimately we want to give this love that we have inside of us to other people. And so you don't want the devil or your circumstance to be able to smother that. You know, so I would just encourage you guys to bring that desire and that nurturing and that mothering out into the community around you in the meantime while you await your journey to motherhood.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. So where can we connect with you after this episode? Give me all your socials.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank God. I would love to connect with you and stay encouraged. I try to every day leave a motivational message on my page on Facebook and Instagram under The Amazing Corner. I would love you guys to join my blog at theamazingcorner.com. My blogs are also like family and goal oriented, just to encourage people to just go out there and do what you got to do to get your dreams fulfilled. We don't want you sitting around waiting on watching everybody else fulfill their dreams and have their desires of their heart met. We want you to have yours as well. So just, yeah, check me out at theamazingcorner.com. You can subscribe there and follow me on social media under The Amazing Corner as well, Facebook and Instagram.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Tanira, for being on the podcast and sharing your story with us. And definitely everyone, all her links will be below in the show notes or description box. So definitely go support her and her son's books. So thank you so much again. It's a pleasure.
Eric, I want to thank you too. And for the work that you're doing, stay encouraged. You're doing a blessing, just letting people share their stories and encouraging others and sisters. And I think it gives people more courage, just like going to therapy. There's so many people, once I've shared, I go to therapy, now we're going to therapy. So continue to share the work that you're doing and bless others and help people to advocate so we get even more improvement and more support around this area.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For show notes, go to sistersinloss.com. To stay connected with us and join the Sisters in Loss community and receive my weekly newsletter, please go to sistersinloss.com/newsletter. That is sistersinloss.com/newsletter. Please rate and review this episode, and I will talk to you next week.
Ever tried reading while jogging? cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.